RadioArchives.com presents Operator No. 5 Magazine from April 1934. The Masked Invasion. The first adventure of James Christopher, Operator No. 5. America's Secret Service Ace by Frederick C. Davis, writing as Curtis Steele. Read by Richard Epcar. Invisible, secret, deadly, the Mask Empire wielded its dread power of darkness throughout the nation. Havoc and ruin followed the terror-torn thousands who fled the country to escape the 13th darkness. America, faced with certain disaster, placed her chance of survival in one man's capable hands and prayed that the warrior gods might smile once more upon the miracle man of her secret service, Jimmy Christopher. And now, James Christopher, Operator No. 5's thrilling adventures, The Masked Invasion.
Chapter 1, The Silken Snare. Danger hovered, unseen and unsuspected, in the glow of New York City's lights that night. A dark menace of unknown evil, ready to strike, yet still held in leash, awaiting only the chosen moment, and the millions in the metropolis did not know. They thronged the white light streets in carefree multitudes. They danced gaily on glassy floors. They raised brimming champagne glasses to health and happiness. They loved and sang and laughed, while the silent death drew near. Among those joy-seeking millions, one man alone realized the destruction which threatened, which was lowering even then in the night sky like a dark hand, carrying death and pestilence and terror. Smartly tailored, brisk, alert, that young man strode, at a few minutes before 9 p.m. that Friday evening, into the resplendent lobby of the famed Vertex building. This skyscraper was the tallest man-made structure in the world. Around it whirlpooled the life of New York City. Its white spire was honeycombed with hundreds of offices. Even at that hour, men and women swarmed in and out of the entrances, in and out of the elevators. The young man was striding toward one of the waiting cages when a hand fell on his arm. "You dropped your glove, mister." He looked into the freckled Irish face of a youngster, garbed in the dull green of an Eastern Union messenger, who was proffering a pigskin glove. He reached for a coin, as the boy said, in lower tone. 58th floor, room 42. The young man asked, scarcely moving his lips. Any signal? Rap twice, then once, then three times. He took the glove and passed a quarter. Good work, Tim, came his whisper. Home in bed for you. The devil only knows what's ahead for all of us tonight. The grill of the elevator car clacked shut behind him, and floor numbers blurred. The 40th, the 50th floors whizzed past. At the 58th, the grill slid open, and the young man stepped into an empty corridor. On the frosted glass door of room 5842, black lettering read, Hobson and Son, Public Accountants. A blurred light showed beyond the door. Quickly, the young man brought from his pocket a black velvet mask. He fitted it snugly across his eyes. Noiselessly, cautiously, he turned the knob. The door was locked. On the back of his right outstretched hand, a scar formed uncannily, and like a spread-winged eagle, shone black in the light. Raising knuckles, he rapped. Twice he knocked, then once, then three times. Alertly, he waited. A latch clicked and the door inched open. A dark eye looked out. Almost instantly, the door began to close again. An obstruction stopped it. The toe of the young man's right shoe. His supple muscles flexed as he pushed through and closed the door behind him. Through his black velvet mask, his clear eyes narrowed. Green light, reflecting from a desk blotter, weirdly colored the ape-faced man who had answered the signal knock. He stood hunched, hands open to claw, poised to rush.
"What do you want?" he demanded.
"Liu Kang."
"Liu Kang?"
the squat man blurted the horrified whisper. He whirled, reaching out. The masked young man's finger seized his wrist. Swift moments followed. The other man's arm dropped, paralyzed. Swift, sure pressure on a major nerve had rendered it powerless. The masked man's hand darted to the other's neck. A muscle snapped as the man opened his mouth to shout, but no sound came. His vocal cords were no longer working. A painless jiu-jitsu touch had accomplished that. The surprising visitor thrust stiff fingertips against the other man's temples, deftly, suddenly twisting. The victim's eyeballs rolled as he slid to the carpet. The masked man glanced at the thin, platinum watch on his wrist.